I'll be reading Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14 from the American Standard Version of the Bible. Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, a virgin will be with child and bear a son, and she will call himself, and she will call his name Emmanuel.
That you got a chance to enjoy the snow day or snow night. To me, that was the perfect snow evening. Like, that's exactly how I want my snow to be, right? Have it come in, have it be on the ground. We got to go outside for a few minutes, and we threw a couple snowballs, and we made a tiny little snowman, and we got our fill of the snow. And then the next morning, you wake up, and everything's fine, right? It's all melted, and you can drive down the street, and it doesn't get in the way of anything. The perfect snow day. Listen, I don't need a snow day where it's going to ice the roads and close everything down for a couple days. Why? Because we've got too much to do, right? We don't need that. We don't need those kinds of snow days. So having what we had Friday night was just the perfect amount of snow. Hope that you got to enjoy some time out in it. Now, this time of year is a busy time of year, and I know I've got the word Christmas up on the screen. And listen, let me just say this ahead of time. I know that we know that Jesus was not born necessarily on December 25th, but it is the day around the world that people celebrate his birth, and I don't necessarily feel like we should push away from that. I feel like we should lean into that and embrace that. It is probably the one time a year, maybe one of two times throughout the year, that our culture actually tunes into the message of Jesus. And so let's embrace that. Let's talk about that a little bit. Now, this time of year, in addition to all of the things around, you know, Christmas Day itself, this time of year is a busy time of year. It's busy. There's all kinds of things happening. Now, when I was a kid, it wasn't that way, right? When you're a kid and Christmas happens, you get a break and you do, unless you have a job, you do nothing. You do nothing, right? I remember this one time, it was a few years ago, I was talking to a teenager, not from this congregation, I was talking to a different teenager, and I saw them after Christmas break was over. I said, hey, what did you do during Christmas break? And he looked at me with this big sense of pride, and he said, I watched two seasons of this show on Netflix. I said, two seasons? Like, how many episodes are in a season? And he said, 26. I did the math real quick. I was like, you watched 52 hours on Netflix? And he was like, yeah, I did. And so I lovingly put my arm around with him, and I tried to explain to him, I was like, man, think of all the things you could have done with those 52 hours. Think about how much prayer and Bible study you could have had with those hours. Think about all the ways you could have been productive, all the things that you could have done. And he heard what I said, and he looked up at me with a tear in his eye, and he said, you know what, Andrew, you're right. You're so right. I'm just kidding. He didn't say any of that. He looked up at me, and he just kind of laughed, and he walked off like I was an idiot. I don't know. He walked off, and he didn't hear me at all. And, you know, I'll be honest, probably when I was a kid, I would have maybe done the same thing where, you know, try to binge watch a couple seasons of television. Maybe that's what you do. I don't know. But this time of year, it's if you're a kid, in some sense, you have a lot of time. If you're an adult, if you've got stuff going on, it's a very busy, hectic time of year. There's a lot of things going on. There's presents to buy. There's parties to plan and to go to and to be a part of. There's functions at school, right? We've got all these exams and other things that they need to go and be a part of. There's food to prepare. There's family to get together with. That can be stressful sometimes, not in my family at all. But you get together with family. There's a lot of things that go in with that. Traveling to do. There's places you have to go and arrangements you have to make. Maybe people are coming to see you and you've got to get the house ready. And there's a lot involved in getting the house ready. This time of year, there is a focus on Christmas. There's a focus on Jesus. And that's a good thing. And I think we should embrace it. Maybe because of that, there could be some great opportunities this time of year to have a conversation about the most important things with people that you love. Maybe we should embrace that opportunity. But what if the attention that we give to the events around Christmas detract from the attention that we should be giving to the one that we're supposed to be celebrating? Is it possible that we could be doing so much in service and celebration that we forget to actually spend time with Jesus? I'm certain that Jesus knew that there would always be a great deal of activity surrounding his presence. When he was alive, I'm sure he knew that anytime he went somewhere, people would be there. Lots of people would be there. Even if he weren't omniscient, he would have just known that wherever he went, there would be a lot going on. Everywhere he went, crowds gathered. There was excitement. There were festive meals. All throughout the gospel accounts, we read of Jesus showing up in a new town and someone insisting that he and his disciples come over for dinner. And sometimes Jesus and his disciples, they'd go to the person you'd expect. They'd go to their house, person you'd expect to have the Son of God in their home. They'd go there for a meal. Sometimes Jesus, the Son of God, would go to someone's house that you wouldn't expect him to go to for a meal. But it seems like everywhere he went, someone was hosting a dinner in his honor. And Luke chapter 10 records the account of one of those meals at the home of Mary and Martha, and probably their brother Lazarus lived there, although he's not mentioned in the Luke 10 account. As always, when Jesus arrived, there was a lot to be done. He brought a crew of at least 12 people with him, and sometimes more. You knew that other people would gather to hear him teach, maybe try to see if he'd do some kind of miracle, maybe see if there'd be some kind of healing that would take place. And so he goes to the home of Martha and Mary, and Martha was concerned with being the perfect hostess, with having everything ready for the arrival of the Son of God into her home. She was focused on getting everything done that needed to be done. Her sister Mary wasn't. Mary was not focused on those things. And I want us to, this morning, look at the story of Mary and Martha when they have Jesus visit their home. In Luke chapter 10, verse 38 through 39, it says, "As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet, listening to what he said." Now, instead of giving in to the pressures to host, to entertain, to accomplish, to get things done, and there probably would have been those pressures. Jesus is coming to her house. If you think having your in-laws come to your house is stressful, think about having the Son of God come to your home. That's probably some stresses involved there. Things to do, things to get ready, right? But Mary was not focused on those things. Mary did what? Mary sat at the feet of Jesus, even with all these other things that probably needed some attention. She spent time with Jesus, and she listened to him talk about why, in fact, he had come. It's interesting. There's some implications here of a first century rabbi allowing a woman to sit at his feet. It's kind of an unusual thing that would have raised some eyebrows for that to happen. This would be a big deal to have a woman sitting at the feet of a rabbi. Jesus allowed her to sit at his feet and listen. Now, all throughout the gospel, the idea of listening is tied to the idea of discipleship. The word disciple literally means learner or follower. Many heard what Jesus said, but few actually listened. Luke went out of his way to convey to his readers what Mary was doing at Jesus' feet. What was she doing? She was listening. She was learning to follow him more closely. Now, what Jesus was saying, I don't know, although this passage is sandwiched in between the parable of the Good Samaritan, and then it's also in between Jesus' teaching of the Lord's Prayer. And so maybe Mary was listening to Jesus talk about what loving your neighbor looks like. Maybe Mary was listening to Jesus explain everyone's need to spend time with the Father in prayer. Whatever it was that she was hearing, she was actively listening in order to follow Jesus more fully. Meanwhile, what's Martha doing? Martha was not sitting at the feet of Jesus listening. Instead, she was trying to be the perfect hostess. Or maybe she's just trying to get things straight to where it's good enough, okay? She's trying to clean and get things right. Maybe this kind of happened last minute, okay? In our house, when it's a last minute cleaning, that's where I come in. And what I do is my technique, throw things in the closet, put things under bed. Crystal hates it, right? But we have no time. Let's get this up. We got to put all this stuff away. Maybe that's what Martha's doing, is she's putting things in the closet. Not exactly sure. But for Martha, like, what she's doing is important. There's a lot of mouths to feed, food to get ready, sleeping arrangements that needed to be made. I can't even imagine the amount of work that hosting Jesus must have required. It was a lot of work for Martha. In Luke chapter 10, verse 40, Luke says, "But Martha was distracted." Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me out. Tell her to help me out." And I love the little emphasis that Luke makes. Martha was distracted. She was distracted. Martha was so frustrated that her sister had left her to do all the work What did she do? She actually interrupted Jesus' teaching to ask him to intervene. How silly, right? Looking back on Martha, probably thought it was silly when she realized what she had done. She's so caught up in cleaning and getting things ready that she interrupts the teachings of Jesus to have him get onto her sister. Martha had missed the point. She got so distracted by all of the activity and busyness surrounding Jesus' arrival that she actually thought that the activity was more important than spending time with the one who the activity was about. She wasn't willfully ignoring Jesus. She wasn't being rude. Martha wasn't even disobeying. She was simply distracted. And she forgot what it was that she should be focusing on. Here, Jesus is in your home. Spend time with Jesus. Quit getting so distracted. We're guilty of this, aren't we? We get fixated on maybe getting the house just right for Christmas, or getting the perfect picture for the card or to put on Facebook, making sure that the perfect gifts are bought, making sure that all the programs and activities are attended, and all those things are good things. All those things are important things to do. But sometimes we can get so caught up in the activity that we forget to spend time with the one that it's all about. I think sometimes I can be like Martha, maybe you can as well, where we can almost wear busyness, being busy, we can almost wear it as this badge of honor, something that we're proud about. Someone asks me how we're doing, we say, man, I'm so busy, almost pridefully tell people how busy we are. I remember recently one of the kids that's on Ethan's third and fourth grade basketball team, I saw him at school and I was like, hey man, how's it going? And very seriously he said, man, I'm just so busy. It's like, you're in third grade, why are you so busy? So busy, right? And we can almost wear it. He probably heard somebody say that, right? This is our response. We feel so busy. And for Martha, I mean, her busyness was good. She is so busy serving Jesus. I mean, she's almost like, doesn't anybody notice how busy I am? Can you tell my sister? Look how busy I am. Please tell her to help me. But Jesus lovingly reminds Martha. His loving reminder to Martha is probably the same thing that he would say to each of us. Listen to what he says in Luke 10, verse 41 through 42. He says this, Martha, Martha. And I don't think he's yelling. I don't think he's like, Martha, Martha, what are you doing? I think it's a lovingly way that he says this, trying to bring her focus back to where it should be. Almost like, Martha, I understand. I get why this has happened, but let me explain to you what actually is going on here. Martha, Martha, the Lord answered, you are worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed, or indeed only one. Only one thing is needed. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her. Notice he didn't say that the things that Martha was spending time on weren't important. He didn't say that the things that Martha was spending time on weren't worthwhile. Jesus didn't rebuke Martha for wanting things to be a particular way. There's nothing wrong with that. What he did, though, is he just reminded her that there is something better than having things just right. And that thing that's better is spending time with Jesus. Spending time with Jesus is better. Time with him is better than a perfect feast, even one thrown in his honor, right? This was a meal for him. But time with Jesus was better than that. Time with Jesus is better than a tidy house. Some of the teenagers are like texting their parents right now, right? Spending time with Jesus is better than a tidy house. Spending time with Jesus is better than getting the perfect gifts or taking a perfect trip or having the perfect family vacation. Time with Jesus is better. All of those things are good. All of those things are things that we should do and will do and continue to do and they make sense to do. But the thing that's more important, the thing that Jesus reminds Martha of, the thing that is better is sitting at the feet of Jesus, spending time with him, listening to him, making time to spend with Jesus. That's what is better. This is what I think was the hardest lesson for Martha to learn. Time with Jesus is better than service for Jesus. Time with Jesus is even better than service for Jesus. And that's what Martha was doing, right? She was doing a service for Jesus. But Mary had chosen better. Mary was spending time with Jesus. Martha was doing all that she was doing for Jesus, yet he told her, Mary has chosen what is better. Martha's choice had not been bad. The things that she was working on were all good, It simply wasn't the best choice at the moment. Why? Because Jesus was there. Jesus was there, and so obviously that is who she had, should have chosen to spend time with. So what do we do with this? How do we do that? How do we choose what is better? How do we have a M-A-R-Y Christmas instead of a Martha Christmas? Well, I want to look together for just a moment in Psalm 84. Psalm 84. Here the psalmist writes this. He says, "How lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord Almighty. My soul yearns, even faints, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God." This is a passage we read on our retreat this past weekend. And one of the things that was pointed out is here David is writing, he is longing to be in the courts of the Lord. He's longing to be in heaven. He's longing to be in the presence of God. He'd never been there before. But yet this is a place that he desired to go. This is the place that he wanted to be. And going on, verse 8, "Hear my prayer, O Lord God Almighty. Listen to me, O God of Jacob. Look upon our shield, O God. Look with favor on your anointed one." Listen to what he says here, verse 10. Better is one day in your courts than 1,000 elsewhere. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of the wicked." See, the psalmist there realizes what is better. It is better to be in the presence of God. Better is one day in your presence than 1,000 elsewhere. God's presence is where we want to be. We want to be in the presence of God. We want to be at the feet of Jesus. I've got this picture I want to show you real quick. This, you might have saw this. It made some news this past week. So this is in a city in Belgium. And this guy had this land he was trying to develop for years, and he was trying to turn it into this apartment complex. And there was this street light, this lamppost. Maybe you can kind of see it over there on the right. And this light post, he was trying to get the city to remove and put somewhere else. For 2 years, he tried to do this. And he's like, okay, I'm just going to go ahead and start building. And so he builds the apartment complex, and he keeps the lamppost exactly where it is, and he builds the building around it. Right? He keeps the lamppost there and builds the building around it. And so this, you know, knowing that this would happen, this gets a lot of attention. And so he thought that maybe, you know, this would get things moving along. And then he says, hey, once they remove it, then I'll fix it to how it's supposed to be. Sometimes I think what people do is they meet Jesus and they want to change their lives for him. Other times people want to incorporate him into their lives. I think looking at this picture here, if we try to build our life around Jesus, we get frustrated. If the lamppost represents our old life, this thing that was already there, and the building is this new life, we can't just keep our old self there and try to have this new life based on Jesus built around it. We don't just make room in our life for him in the moment. He wants to dismantle your life and build it on him. The life should be built on him. Not those other things, not the things that maybe take up our attention, those things that distract us, but instead our life should be focused on him. And so in this case, you needed to remove that old stuff so that the new foundation, the new building can be there. And for us, when we decide to follow Jesus, we need to remove the old so that the new can be built. This time of year, we're tempted to focus our time and attention on all of the activity. And there's nothing inherently wrong with that. There's nothing inherently wrong with focusing on shopping and dinners and programs and parties. Those can be great things, enjoyable things, things that maybe bring your family together, which is a good reason to do some of those things. But we have the opportunity to, like Mary, choose something better. We have the opportunity to spend time with the one whose arrival the whole world is celebrating. We have the opportunity to be with Jesus. One more verse I want to look at together. Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14. Here the prophet writes, "Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel." Now, Emmanuel means what? What does Emmanuel mean? It means God with us. God with us. And that's such a unique thing about Christianity. One of the unique things, right? This idea that God is not this distant God who is far away, but that God loved us so much that he came to be with us. He came to be a human, to show us how to live. He wanted to. He desired to be with us. If God with us is the point, then shouldn't we make it a point to spend time with him? If God with us is the point, Emmanuel, then shouldn't we make it a point to spend time with him? You know, this story with Martha and Mary, this might have been one of the last times maybe that Martha got to spend some time with Jesus. And what was she worried about? She was worried about the house. She was worried about the arrangements. For us, let's take advantage of the opportunities that we have to spend with Jesus, to sit at his feet, to listen to him, to have him impact our lives. This year, let's make a point to have a Merry Christmas instead of a Martha Christmas. I know it's cheesy, right? But hopefully it'll be memorable. Hopefully it reminds us that this time of year, when there's so much stuff going on, so many activities, so many good things to be involved with, that we will actively, intentionally choose what is better. And what is better is what Mary chose. And that's to spend time at the feet of Jesus. I hope over the course of these next few weeks, you'll make time to spend at the feet of Jesus, listening to him, building your relationship with him, to focus on what is better, making it a point to focus on spending time with Jesus. This morning, maybe you're here, and maybe you've lost sight of where your focus should be. Maybe your focus hasn't been on spending time with Jesus. Maybe your focus has been on other things. Maybe like Martha, you have been distracted. There's been so many distractions, and you need to refocus yourself. Maybe repent. Maybe come back to following him and giving your life to him. Maybe you're here this morning and maybe for the very first time you need to come to the feet of Jesus and have him change your life, give your life to him in baptism. Whatever way we can help you this morning, however we can encourage you, choose what's better as together we stand and sing.